We begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Mem Tes. We begin in the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the discussion of the previous daf, where the Gemara introduced the incident regarding Shlomo HaMelech that was going to execute Yoav, who was the former general of his father David's army, because the Gemara had brought in this part of history where it related the Gemara attempted to bring a proof from where Yoav tried to save himself by going on a Mizbeach, not to be killed by Shlomo, but rather to be killed by the courts, where the Gemara thought that that would bring a proof that because Haruge Malchus is different than Haruge Bezin, where Haruge Malchus, then his estate goes to the king, whereas Haruge Bezin, it goes to the Yarshan, which the Gemara said, no, there's no proof. Rather, he just wanted, it was a delay tactic to stay alive a little bit longer, but you could see, like the other opinion, that in both cases, it will go to the Yarshan. Once the Gemara introduced it, now the Gemara continues with the incident regarding why was it that Shlomo HaMelech was trying to execute Yoav. So the Gemara says that Asiyu Yoav, they brought Yoav and Dinah, and they judged him, where that's where he was trying to go. He wanted to get judged by the courts regarding what he had done, that if he was guilty. So Amalei, so Benyahu, who was coming from Shlomo HaMelech, says, "My time katati l'Avner. Why did you kill Avner, who was the general in Shaul HaMelech's army, where they were fighting with David HaMelech and his army, but then later on he made peace with David. And then, where in both these incidents, where Yoav was, they were trying to find him guilty, were where he was being protective of his job of being general in Shlomo's army. So Avner then was joining together with David. And then the question was, so then they asked Yoav, why did you kill Avner? So Amalei, so said to him, Goyel Hadam da Asol Havi, I was the redeemer of the blood of Asol, who was the brother of Yoav. And we're in one of the wars where Avner killed Asol, who that's his brother, so to avenge the blood, which he's allowed to as a Goyel Hadam, he went and killed Avner. So that they said to him, but Asol right of Hava, Asol was deservedly killed by Avner, because he was a pursuer, he was running after to kill Avner. So Avner's allowed to protect himself, as the halacha of Roi Defiz, when someone's coming to kill a person, he's allowed to kill in self-defense. So Avner wasn't guilty for killing your brother Asol. Asol was trying to kill him. So Malay, so on that Yoav responded, but Hayaloi, but Avner should have been Lahatziloi, to save himself, Be'echad Me'evarv, with one of the limbs of Asol, and not have killed Asol. As the Gemara says later on, Perek Ben Sari Mer, and Daf Ayin Dalet Aleph, that if someone's chasing after his friend to kill him, and the victim could save himself by maiming the pursuer, by injuring one of his limbs, and he doesn't do that, rather he goes and he kills his pursuer, he's actually guilty of murder. Because although he's allowed to protect himself in self-defense, but if you could save yourself without killing that person, then you're not allowed to. And therefore he says that he should have, yeah, he was being pursued, but he could have saved himself by not killing my brother Asol, but rather by just injuring one of his limbs. So Amalei, so they said back to Yoav, but lo yochalei. But Avner couldn't be so exacting in this wartime to direct it specifically to one of his limbs. He just had to protect himself, and he just shot, and he killed him. But what are you saying, that he could have saved himself by getting one of his limbs? To which Amalei, so Yoav responded, he says, wait a second, how can you say that? Hashtu b'defen chamishes, if it was directly by the fifth rib, kivan lei, he was precisely directed, the post says, Shmuel Beis, it says, vayekeyu Avner, that Avner went and killed and attacked, v'achrei hachanis ala choymesh, by the wall of the fifth, meaning by the fifth rib, because Vamer Birchen explains, b'defen chamishes, by the fifth rib, b'mokim shemar b'kovet luyim boi, he got it exactly where he directed it, where the liver and the gallbladder are hanging. So you think he couldn't have gotten it to one of his limbs? You see how exacting his aim was. He got exactly what he wanted, so he could have gotten it in one of his limbs. And the fact that he didn't, therefore, it was that he was guilty for having killed my brother, because he could have done it in a way that would have saved him without killing my brother. So Amalei, so they said to Yoav, okay, Nezel Avner, let's let go of Avner, that you're exempt from, we can't prosecute you for having killed Avner. But there's another claim against you. My time I katalti l'Amasa. Why did you kill Amasa? Well, he was a general in Avshalom's army who rebelled against David, which later he then fell out with Avshalom and he made peace with David, again a threat to Yoav's job of being the general. Why'd you kill him? So Amalei said to him, Amasa married by Malchus Abba. Amasa was guilty. He was liable to be killed because he rebelled against the king. So still, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, the king said to Amasa, Hazikli as ish Yehuda Shleishas Yomim Begoimer. Go ahead and gather for me the people of Judea in 3 days. For Yekim, etc. It says, V'yelech HaMosel LaHazik as Yehuda, that HaMosel went to gather the people of Judea. V'yelecher V'goim, and from the word of Me'ucher, of delayed, he delayed, he didn't go right away. So you see that that's considered being rebellious about not listening, paying heed to what the king tells him. And if he was guilty, so therefore I'm not liable for the, having killed him. He was Chayiv Misa for having been married by Malchus. So Malay, they said to Yayav, but HaMosel, Achen V'rakin Darish. He wasn't guilty for being married by Malchus. He expounded the term ach or rak, which means only, which is our limiting terminologies. What does that mean? Because Ashkechinu de Pasach lo b'mesechti, he found that the people had just opened up a new mesecht that they started learning, and he didn't want to stop them from learning, as the Gemara explains later on, and therefore he wasn't considered married by Malchus. Because Amar, he said, the Pasach says in Yeshua, kol isha sheyamer espicha, that Yeshua was told that anyone who rebels against what you say, which he was considered the melech, v'lo yishmes devarech l'chalat asher tetzavenu, that he won't listen to any words that you command, then you must, he'll be put to death. Married by Malchus is chayv misa. But then, you would think that the same thing applies even if the king is saying something that should make people stop learning. That's the Pasuk teaches over there, Rak Chazak V'amatz. Just, however, that you should strengthen yourself and be strong. Now, the word Rak is a mute, it's an exclusionary term, which comes to say that if the king is commanding something, which would be Mevatel Torah, we do not listen to him. So, therefore, the fact that he didn't go and listen right away to David had said to gather the people, actually, for that, he was not considered Mar B'Malchus. And for that, you were not allowed to kill him. Ella, rather, they responded to Yoav, Hahu Gavra, married by Malchus. But that person, meaning you, Yoav, you were considered rebellious against the king. Now, simply like it says the Pasuk, Melochem Aleph, Vashmua, which the word that when Shlomo HaMelech was anointed to be the king and he killed Adoniyo, Bo'ad Yoav, it came to Yoav that news, and he was afraid. Ki Yoav not to Achri Adoniyo, because Yoav had gone after Adoniyo, which was he was rebellious against the king, because he knew that Shlomo was supposed to be the next king. And V'achri Avshalom Lenota, however, he did not go after Avshalom when he rebelled against David, his father. That he wasn't guilty of, but when Adoniyo tried being the king, which was married by Malchus, because it was supposed to be Shlomo being the king, for that, Yoav was chayev, that actually you were married by Malchus, so don't say you killed Amasya with the right of, because he was married by Malchus, actually it was not, because you don't have to listen to the king when he's telling you to do something that would be mevatel Torah. And therefore, for that, he was chayiv misa. And that's where Shlomo was going to execute Yoav. So the Gemara just clarifies, Mailoi Nata. Why would the Pasuk mention over here, when it's saying that the word got to Yoav and he was afraid because Shlomo had executed Adoniyo, and Yoav himself had supported Adoniyo, so he was afraid, but why mention the fact that he didn't follow after Avshalom, But over here by Adoniyah, then he did. What would that be relevant to being afraid? So Amar Yehuda, he says, what the Pasuk is telling you is because Shabikish Limtas. Because actually he attempted to also lean after Avshalom. It's just that he wasn't able to follow through on his thought, because V'loi Nota, at the end, he did not end up following after Avshalom. But in my time, V'loi Nota, what's the reason that he didn't? Not because he didn't want to. In other words, really, he had attempted to rebel against David, not just by this time, but times before that too. And that's why it's more enforcing this fact that, yeah, you were married by Malchus. Because Amar Balazi says, Adayin lichluchis, it was at that point in time by Avshalom, there was still the strength, shal David, that was kayemis. But now that he got older by Adoniyah, then he went out from his way and he followed after Adoniyah. But yeah, it's not saying a good thing for him, it's saying that, or another reason why he was afraid, although he didn't follow Avshalom, but he really wanted to. He says the reason why by Avshalom he didn't go and rebel against David was because Adayin itz tagnina shel David kayamin, was because the strong ones of David, through whom he would fight his wars and listen to every word that he said, they were still around, and it was for that that he was still afraid of David. Now, although itz tagninis in Shas generally means to say the stargazers, here these strong men were called itz tagnine, was because David HaMelech relied on them and did whatever they said, and they did and executed whatever he wanted, like the stargazers who say everything as it is, where Amar Rav Yehuda Rav Arba Meis Yeladim, there were 400 young men, Hayulei LeDavid, David HaMelech had, Kulon B'nei Yefas Toyer Hayu, they were all the sons of Yefas Toyers, Umagadli B'loyers Hayu, and they had these long ponytails, where the rest of the hair is shaved, but they have these long ponytails in the back, the way idol worshippers do, and the reason why they had this type of haircut was to be to be intimidating and that people should be afraid from them. Now, this that they were the sons of Yefas Tayr, these are the non-Jewish women that the Jewish soldiers take as in captivity, which the Torah permits it, as it says in Dvarim Chav Beis, V'risa B'Shivya, and these are the children of those women that they took. Now, Umahalchen B'Rosh HaGiyasis Hayu, and they would go in front of the troops. The Hein Hein Balag Griffin Shal David, and these are the mighty ones of David. It was from that that Yoyeb was afraid of. But again, it's not like only this time. He really was had in his thought process to rebel against David in times before. Now, however, the Gemara says, Upliga, that this interpretation of Yehuda, that says that actually the intent of Yoyev was actually to rebel many times. It's not just this last time, but he, even by Absalom, let's say, had attempted to rebel against David, disagrees with Reb Abba Bar Kahana. Because the Amar Reb Abba Bar Kahana, he says that actually, no, David and Yoyev were very close, and they actually worked in tandem. Where he says that Ilmali David, if not for David having learned Torah, Layasa Yoyev Muhammad, Yoyev would not have been able to fight his wars and win. But it was in the merit of David's learning that withstood for Yoyev in the wars that he fought for David. And so to Vilmali Yoyev, not for the wars that Yoyev fought for him, like Asik David B'Torah, David would not have been able to learn Torah. So still like it says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, but he David Aysa Mishpadut Stokol Chalamai, that David did justice and charity for all his people. But Yoyev ben Tzruya al Tzav, and Yoyev, the son of Tzruya, was on the army. Which, what it means is, Matam David Asa Mishpadut Stokol Chalamai. What's the reason that he was able to do all this charity for the Jewish people? Mishum de Yoyev al Tzav was because Yoyev was the general for the army. And also in the reverse, Matam Yoyev al Tzava, why was he the general? Mishum David Isa Mishpat Stokal Chamayu Amen, because David was the one who was learning Torah and doing all this charity. Now continuing with the narrative from before, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says, Vayetze Yoyev Me'im David. In other words, one of the things that they were trying to prosecute Yoyev for was because he had killed Avner. So in that story, it says that Yoyev left from David. And they sent for agents after Avner. And they brought him back from Bar Hasira, which is then he went and had killed Avner. So the question is, my Bar Hasira, what's this place called Bar Hasira? So Amar Baba Kahani says, Bar Vasira, it alludes to two elements, a pit of water and of a thorn. Although that they were trying to prosecute Yoyev, but ultimately when a person gets killed, there's a reason from Hashem, which it was these two things that caused Avner to be killed. What does that refer to? So the bar, although it's that means the pit literally, but it refers to the pitcher of water that David took from around the head of Shaul when he was sleeping. And then that it was that David HaMelech told to the soldiers of Shaul, saying, you deserve to be killed, because you didn't protect your master, because I could have killed him, as the Pasuk says, Shmuel Aleph Perchavav. And therefore, look how what was here from the king, and where's the pitcher of water? It's not here, because I took it, and I could have killed him, I was right there. Now, at that point in time, Avner should have protested against his king Shaul, and said to him, look how righteous is David, he doesn't want to kill you. But he didn't. Rather, what he said was, oh, he has the pitcher, maybe one of our soldiers gave it to him. So for that he was guilty, because he could have made peace between Shaul and David, and instead he found a way to make it away and say like, oh, David doesn't deserve any respect for this. And so to Sira, which refers to a thorn, which was when David cut off the corner of the garment of Shaul when he was sleeping in the cave. So Avner should have then been Malamed Zchus on David and said to Shaul, look how much he cares about you, he doesn't want to kill you, why are you fighting him? And he was with you in the cave and he didn't kill you. But he didn't say anything in favor of David. Rather, he said, he has a corner of your garment. Maybe when you were walking by a thorny bush, your garment got stuck in the thorns, and therefore David was hiding over there afterwards, and he cut it off from there, but maybe he didn't get it from you when you were sleeping, and therefore it's not a proof that he could have killed you. It was for those two incidents that Avner was deserving to be killed. Now the pasuk says, Vayetehu Yoyev Otechasha, that Yoyev then turned Avner towards the inner part of the gate, L'dabr itay basheli, to speak with him in peace. This was all about getting him to a place where he can then go ahead and kill him, as he did. So Amar Yechon, and he says, Shadonu din Sanhedrin, because he judged him as the high court does. And that's why it says that he brought him el teich hashar, as the pasuk says, Nevarim chafalav el ziknei ure vel shar mekoymai. Generally, when we use a gate, that's where the Sanhedrin would be, that's where they judge people. That's referring to what he did too, to Avner, where he judged him as if by the high court. Because Amalei, he said to Avner, my time katalti l'asoel, why did you kill Asoel? Which was his brother. So he answered him, as we had a similar narrative on the top of the Amid, Asoel roidefa hayo. So Avner responded, he says, what do you mean? He was a roidef, he was pursuing, he was trying to kill me. So that Yair responded back to him. He says, but you should have, instead of killing my brother, you should have saved yourself by just maiming him in one of his limbs. So which Avner responded, he says, lo yechilele, I couldn't. It's just in wartime. I just shot back. So on that, Yair responded, what do you mean? If you got him exactly where you aimed it, towards the fifth rib, you think you couldn't got exactly by one of the limbs? And therefore he held that Avner was guilty, and he was a goy ladam, and therefore he killed Avner. Now the pasuk says, l'dabri itoy b'sheli, that he brought him to the gate to speak with him, b'sheli, which we translate as the word shalom, of peace. But Amar Yehuda Merav, he says the interesting word b'sheli is, al iske shalu. Regarding the elements of shalu, which from like the word of shalno lecha, which means to take off your shoe, which is that connivingly Yoav asked Avner, what's the halacha? He asked him a halachic shaila, Talmudic question. He says, a yevama that doesn't have hands, how does she do chalitza, which to her brother-in-law, when she, if she dies without any children, she's supposed to take off his shoe, but she doesn't have hands. So Avner started bending down to show Yoav that she has to then do chalitza with her teeth. And at that point in time, Yoav took out his sword and he killed him. As the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis, that David was bemoaning what Yoav had done. He says that he has blood on the sword that's in his loins and on the shoes that are on his feet. What do shoes have to do on his feet? Because that's how he killed him, by having him bend down to show him how chalitz is done, and then he was able to kill him. So it says, as we mentioned before, in the pasuk V'yakehu Sham HaChemish, that he went and he killed them by the fifth. Rabbi Yechanan was bedeifin chamishas by the fifth rib, makom shemar v'kavet luim, by exactly the place where the liver and the gallbladder are hanging. That's how he went and he murdered him. Now the pasuk in Malachim Aleph says that Shlaim HaMelech said to Benayahu, that who is his agent, v'heishav Hashem misdame al reishay, that Hashem will return the blood on the head of Yoav, asher paga b'shnei anoshim tzadikim v'tevim, because he killed two righteous people that were righteous and better than him. What does that refer to? Tavim, the two people that he killed, which was this Amasa and Avner, they were good people, Shahayu Darshan Ach and Varakan, because they expounded, as we said before, Ach and Rak, meaning not to fulfill the command of the king to violate the words of the Torah. Amasa, like we said before, where although David told him to gather the people, he said that when it says Rak Chazak V'amatz, means you're not allowed to go ahead and be mevatel people from Torah, even if the king says. Avner also is where Shaul had told to his servants, as it says in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, go around and kill the Kahanim of the city of Noiv. And it says that the servants of Shaul did not want to do that, because that was an inappropriate thing, and therefore Avner did not listen to Shaul. So that's because they were good that they didn't, that they expounded Ach V'Rak not to listen to the king in times when it's inappropriate. But for who loy darsh? But Yaiv himself did not expound, meaning he did not learn the lesson of Rak Chazak V'Amatz, to not listen to a king when it's not appropriate, because he went and he killed Uriah from the command of David, which was inappropriate to do. And Tzadikim, these two that he killed were righteous, Shehem Bepeh, because they had commands directly, orally from the kings, but I also, and they still didn't do it because it was inappropriate. But Vahu, Be'igeris, his whole command, Yoav, was only by letter. Because even though David didn't command him in person, but rather in the letter, as it says, because of a safer limit that he wrote in the scroll saying, Habas, or you put Uri in a place where he's going to be killed in war, and still us, and still he did it, so therefore the two that he killed were better and more righteous than him. Now it says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, V'amasa lo nishma b'cherev asher b'yad Yoav. So the other person that Yoav had killed was Amasa, that he didn't protect himself from the sword that was in the hand of Yoav. So Amaravi says, because he didn't suspect that Yoav was going to kill him, therefore he didn't protect himself. Now it says in Malachim Aleph, Vayikavir bebeis b'midbar, that Yoav, when he was executed by Shlaima, he was buried in his house in the desert. Now the question is, Atu beis b'midbar, who? What, is his house a desert? Amaravi the Marav, it means kimidbar, it means his house was like a desert. Meaning, ma midbar mufkul akol, just like the desert is ownerless for everyone, and so too, his house was the same idea for poor people to get sustenance from his house. Av Pesach Shal Yoav Mufkal HaKol, so to the house of Yoav was Hefker for everybody. Whoever wanted, he could take stuff from him. He was a noble person. Tavach, another interpretation, Kemidba, like a desert, Ma'amidba Menuka Megezel Barayis, just like a desert is clean from theft and from immorality because there's nothing going on over there. Av Pesach Shal Yoav Menuka Megezel Barayis, so to Yoav, although that he was being killed for something inappropriate, but he was a righteous person, he was cleansed from any theft and any immorality. So too, the pasuk says in Devarim Aleph, says, "V'yoyev yichaye eshar ha'ir," that Yoyev went and made alive the rest of the city. Now, although this is Pasuk in Devarim is literally talking about when David was conquering Mitzudah Si in Yerushalayim, and David did part of it, and Yoav did another part of it, but the term Yichaya says, Amar Bihudi says, Afila Maninu Betzacha Nasa. Even these small fish, which are one type is Manina, another type is Betzacha Nasa, but meaning what it's coming to say, that even thinner and finer things that Ta'im, that Yoav would taste, Paris Lahu, he would give that out as food for sustenance for the poor people of the city, which the word Paris Lahu is like a term of pras, which are like gifts that are given out from the Beis HaMelech, that we see he cared about people, he didn't have theft, he didn't have arayas, he gave tzedakah, but in spite of that, Shlomo HaMelech held that he was liable to be killed for these incidents that were mentioned, and specifically Amasa, who he had no right to kill, and therefore he had him executed. Ha'nolach Nigmar, then we shall return to the sixth parak of Masechet Sanhedrin, parak Nigmar. Then with that we begin the seventh parak, as we continue to Amud Beis, in Masechet Sanhedrin, parak Arba Mises, which continues in the theme of the previous parak, which was started to speak about Nigmar Din, which then went into the death penalty of Skila. Here we go through Arba Mises Nimsu Lebezin. There are four death executions that the court does through the court when they find someone guilty for a crime. And they are Skila, the person is stoned, Sreifa, to be burnt, Hereg, to be beheaded, Vechenek, and to be choked, which these are specifically biblical commandments for different types of Averis to get different types of executions. And it's specifically in this order because stoning is more severe than burning, and they're both more severe than being beheaded, and the three of them are more severe than chenik, than being strangulated to death. And the ramification of that is if someone is liable for two death penalties, where the Gemara says later on of pay aleph med aleph, that he gets the more severe death penalty. So it's important to know that order. But Rav Shimon, I mean, he disagrees in the order on both the first half and the second half. He says sreifa skila, actually, burning is more severe than stoning. And chenik v'hereg, actually, strangulation is more severe than being beheaded, which the Gemara will explain there, machloikis. And the Mishnah concludes, zum mitzvah san eskal, and this that we mentioned in the previous perek, on daf mehem and aleph, which was speaking about the Beis Haskila, that was two stories high, and that was what was mentioned in the previous perek, because since we want to mention now the remaining three, on the Strafa, and the Rogan, and the Nechnokin, and all the coming Mishnayas, so therefore it goes back just to say, and what we had said in the previous perek was the mitzvah being stoned, and the next Mishnayas we'll be talking about the ones later on, the Strafa, and the Rogan, and the Nechnokin. Now, the Gemara introduces a halacha that will relate back to halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Scher, Amar Rav Huna. It says, Kal makom sheshana chachamim derech minyan. Any time that the chachamim count things in the order of numbers, which is that organizing one thing after another, ein mukdim ma'ocher. So there's no first and last. In other words, they weren't precise to put in the order of the Mishnayis that which is supposed to come first and that which is supposed to come later, because rather there are times where things that are taught later in the Mishnah, which have to be actually done first. For example, the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol, which the Gemara says later on, that actually the mechnesayim, the pant-like of garment, is supposed to be put on first, but that was not put in the order of the Mishnayos of what was on the order of the clothing. And there are times that it is put in the order of how it's supposed to initially be done, but even if then, if you don't do it in that order, we're not concerned from that. For example, as the Gemara will tell us later on regarding the order of Chalitza, although it says in the order should be done, but if it's done out of order, that's also okay. Chutz mishivis samanim, except for the seven different types of herbs or cleaning agents that are used, which is regarding a stain of blood, which is we need to analyze, to ascertain if this is really blood, because then it's certain bloods have tumah, and if not, if it's just a dye, then it's not tummy. So it's regarding that order, they were precise in the order of the Mishnayos has to be exactly in that order. Now Rashi just clarifies that anything that helps for something else is called a sam for that. Because although in many contexts it sounds like sam would be a fragrance or some type of a medicinal thing, that's not what it means. It could be used in that context, but it means anything that's necessary to help something else, where in this case, these types of agents are used to help to clean the blood stain. Which, again, that would clarify, if it gets cleaned away, then we know that it's blood, and it's not some type of a dye that would not be removed with these cleaning agents. It's not like, that this order has to be this way. Shivas samonim avir nalakesim, these seven different types of cleaning agents, are used to remove the stain to check if it's the blood of a menstruating woman, and then it's tummy to convey tumah to anything of tar that it touches, or if it doesn't get removed with these seven cleaning agents, we know that it's a dye, and then it's tahar because it's just dye, and whatever tar that touched it is not problematic. Now, if you go through these seven cleaning agents and you wash with them in this order, and it comes off, then you know that it's dam. But if it doesn't come off, then you know that it's a dye. And what are these seven cleaning agents? Reik tafel, that's the spit from someone that didn't eat anything that entire day, because the word tafel actually means like empty, dry, lacking any taste of food. For example, a food that's not salted is called tafel. So that type of a dry type of a spittle. That's the first one. Umegrisen, which is the juice of chewed up beans, which they chew it and then they go and scrub it with those beans. Umeraglayim and urine, which has fermented and spoiled. Vineser, which is a type of earth, which is called nitra, some type of a cleaning agent. Ubiris, some type of a herb, and it's used to remove stains. Kamulya, which the Gemara there explains, is shluftutz, which Rashi says he doesn't know what that is. Vashlech, which is found in the holes of pearls, which come up from the seabed. That what's taken out from that is used as a cleaning agent. Now, Ketani Sefer learned at the end of that Mishnah with the Besachtas Nida, if Avirin Shleikah Sidrin, if you put on these cleaning agents not in the exact order that we just said, if you put all seven at the same time, you pick one big bucket, mix all seven, and you put it on, you haven't done anything. In other words, that's not a valid test. Because if the stain does not come off that way, you could still say that maybe it's blood. The reason why it didn't come off is not because it's a dye, it's because you didn't go ahead and put the beans. The beans are only valid if you did it after the spit, and so to all of them, it has to be in the appropriate order. Now, the reason why we introduced this Amorek teaching of Rav Schreir over here in the Gemara is because now the Gemara is going to teach that regarding our Mishnah, the Arba'a Mises Bezdin, that Rav Papa disagrees with Rav Schreir. In other words, and he also adds on, Arba Mises is also written specifically in that order, that whatever is first in the Mishnah is first for the other one. If, let's say, someone's chayv to Mises Bezdin, the earlier one is the more severe one. Whereas the Gemara says, Rav Papa Sabbat Mishmei de Rav Amar, Rav Papa the elder said in the name of Rav, Af Arba Mises, also our Mishnah of the four death penalties, that the order is important, saying the first one is first, and then second and third in the order of severity. And the way we know that is from the Komaflik, Rib Shimon, from the fact Rib Shimon disagrees and he says a different order, Shemamino Daf Kuktani, obviously the order was precise, so the Tanakhama to say that that's the order of severity to the lightest. Now the Gemara tells us, V'idach, truth is, Rav Schreira, Beplukta Le Kamairi. Rav Schreira also agrees that the order of our Mishnah is precise. It's just that he didn't want to say cases that there's a machlokes, where it can't necessarily be that order because Rav Shimon disagrees. But yeah, he agrees that the same principle would apply in our Mishnah, although many times there's no muktam u'mu'achar, as in the case of the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, and in our Mishnah, the order is precise. Papa, he says, Afsei du Yuma. He says, also the order of the day of the service of Yom Kippur, which is organized in Mishnah, some Masechtas Yuma, one after another, that order is precise. Not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Yuma that says, Kol Ma'aseh Yom Kippurim, Ha'amur Ma'aseh, all the order of the activities of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, which is set in a certain order, Im Hikta Ma'aseh L'Chaver, if you put later one before the other one, Lo'yosef L'Kolim, you haven't done anything. So there also, there is a Mukdem U'mocha, there is an order. But for Idach, the other opinions would tell you that, yeah, for sure, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim that's said in the Mishnah Masechtas Yuma is in that order. But Hahu Chumer Ba'alma, that's just a stringency that the Torah was stringent regarding the service of that day of Yom Kippurim, that if you change the order, it's going to be puzzle and it's going to be invalid. But it's not because the earlier Avodahs are considered more distinguished, more chashev, to say that it's the ones that are earlier are more important. Rather, it's just the stringency of the day of Yom Kippurim where it's written that it says chukah in the order to say that Tzma'akev has to be in that order. But when we were saying this concept in the Gemara, we were talking about that certain things have an order because the earlier things are more important. Like the Arba Mises, which the Gemara says later on, yeah, because the early ones are more severe than the later ones. So do these seven different cleaning agents where it's what you need is the potency and the strength of the early ones are what cause and allow the later cleaning agents to do what they can do. So yeah, it's because of the potency of the early ones. So too, the pants that the Kohen Gadol wears that's mentioned first is also because of its importance. But Yom Kippurim, that's just a stringency, nothing to do with the elements that in their order, that's nothing to do with the strength of what the things are being done. It's rather because of the stringency of Yom Kippurim, and therefore that wasn't mentioned by the other Amiram regarding things that have an importance of the order intrinsically to them, because Yom Kippur is different, it's just because of the stringency of the day, not because of the intrinsic elements that are being before the other ones. If we read the Rishua, he adds on Af Seder Tamid, also the order of the daily sacrifices, that also has a specific order. It's not just happened to be written, and what's written later could be written, could be done first. No, it has to be done that order. The Ketanei Allah, we learn in Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, that says, Zehu Seder Tamid, that's the order of the daily sacrifices. But Ve'idach, but Rav Papa, who he also says things that are just stringencies, he would tell you, although seemingly this would also be at least in that category that should be mentioned, why doesn't he say that as one of the cases? Because Ahula Mitzvah Ba'alma, that order of the Seder of Tamid actually, yes, that it should be in that order, but that's just a mitzvah. But if you don't do it in that order, he says that would not make it invalid, and therefore he doesn't count it as those which have to be in a certain order, like in our Mishnah or the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, where it has to be, and if it's not, it's not going to work. Now, the Gemara now says, when Rav Schoir opened up this Amaroach teachings, he said, Kol Mokum, everywhere the Chum say in a number fashion, then the order is not important. They weren't so precise. So we said many cases that are exceptions to that. But what are included in that they're not important, the order? Says the Gemara, Ulafuke, he was coming to exclude from the order that said, by Memitzvah Chalitza. By the mitzvah of Chalitza, where there what was said is not necessarily have to be in that way, because although the mitzvah is to do it in a certain order, but it's not Mukhtav Mukhtar, doesn't have to be done in that order. It's not like, learn the Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. It says, mitzvah Chalitza, the mitzvah of Chalitza, which again, when a man or woman, the husband dies without any children, so the woman has to have either Yibum, meaning to get married now to her brother-in-law, or if they don't want that, then she takes off his shoe and does a whole procedure known as Chalitza, and then that removes her so she can marry someone else. So the Mishnah says, the mitzvah of Chalitza is as follows. Bahu v'yevimte lefnei bezen. Him and his now newly widowed sister-in-law come in front of the courts. So the first thing is that the court gives him a good counsel. They tell him, look, if he was an older man and the sister-in-law was very young, or if he was young and she was old, they tell him, look, what do you need this problem? Bring you in to have fights. You're from different generations. Go ahead and marry someone your own age. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, that the elders of the city, they call him and they speak to him. They give him good advice. They say, look, you know, don't do yim with this woman. Now, if they decide that you're right, it's not a good idea, so they go for the option of Chalitza. So the Hiyemer says, she opens up by saying, Mayin Yavami V'goymer, oh, my brother-in-law doesn't want to do Yibim for me. V'goymer, and he responds, yeah, Loichavatz Lekachta, as the Pasuk says, yeah, I don't want to take her. And says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, V'loshna Kodesh Ayim, and they would say this specifically in Loshna Kodesh, in the real Hebrew language, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Saita, which we learn out in Daf Lamed Beis, it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, although other things in the Torah could be said in any language. Then the Pasuk says, V'nikshe yevimto yelov le'en hazakenim, that his sister-in-law brings him to the eyes of the elders. V'cholza nalei, she takes off his shoe, v'yarku b'fanavish, and spits in front of him. Says the Mishnah, Roy kanir le'dayon, it has to be spit, which is visible to the judges. In other words, there should be enough spit that's coming out of her mouth, because we need to fulfill that the Pasuk says, le'ena hasekenim v'yarku, to the eyes of the elders, and she spits, that they have to see the spit. And then the Pasuk says, v'antza v'amra, she responds, and she says, kach yasal ish, this is what should be done to a man who refuses to marry his sister-in-law. And as the Pasuk says, v'nikr shmo yisrael v'grema, and his name shall be called in the Jewish people, this Beis Chalutz Anal, the household that had the shoe taken off. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Rudat explained in that Mishnah, he said, in explanation of that Mishnah, he says that mitzvah of Chalitza is kaira, that first she calls out, as we said, me'in yavami, that my yavam refuses to do yibum. Then the kaira, then he calls out, lo chafatzi, yeah, I don't want her. Then Chaletzah, she takes off his shoe. Then Verekekah, she spits. And then Mekarit, again, she calls out, Koch Yaslish, this is what should be done to a man that doesn't do Yibim to his sister-in-law. Now, Vavin, by we had asked regarding Rabbi Huda's teaching, my Kamash Shalom, what is this Amor Rabbi Huda teaching us? Masnidni. He just basically put in short what it was already said in the Mishnah. And that we said, Hakamash Shalom, what he was teaching is mitzvahachi. That's just the mitzvah. But if they do it in the reverse order, then we're not bothered with that. And it's from this teaching of Rabbi Huda that we learned that the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos is not necessarily in that order. And that's why we said it over here, which was from this case of the order is not necessarily going to hold back the validity of that procedure. As the Gemara says, Tamei Halacha, it's similar. In the Braisa, Bein Shehiktim Chalitz L'Rekika, whether if the taking off the shoe was before the spitting, a Rekika L'Chalitz, or if the spitting was before the taking of the shoe, Masha Asa Asa, what was done is done. And again, as we see that many times when the Chacham say an order, it's not precise, besides the exceptions that the Gemara had mentioned that are exceptions. Now, going back on this teaching of Rav Schaira, the Gemara says, Lafuki Mohadetnan. So not only is, let's say, the case of Chalitza, the order not important, but also this that we learned in Mishnah Masechta Yuma, also there the order is not important. Which is, Kohen Gadol Meshamesh Beshmein Nekelim. The Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, uses 8 garments. The Hedid Barban, a regular Kohen, wears 4 garments. And they are Beksainas, the tunic, some type of a long shirt. They have Mechnesayim, some type of a pants. The Mitznefes, a hat. The Amnate, and a belt. And Mitzvah in Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol has 4 more garments, which are Cheshon, the breastplate, which had the 12 stones on it, the ephod, and some type of an apron type of a garment, umil, some type of a robe garment, betzitz, and a head plate. And betanya lit nabraisa minayin shleihei davar kohen lemechnasayim. How do we know that really there no garment should come before the pants? Shemalik says the pasuk miyikra, it says umichnasei vad, and the linen pants yu abasari shall be on his flesh, which sounds like that when he's putting on the pants, that it should be on his flesh without any other clothing, because if that's not what it's teaching us, then why say al basari? To say that it's going just on the flesh, there's no other garment on it besides his flesh. So therefore you see that although the pants are the first thing that I put on, but when the Tana says it, he doesn't say the pants first. Again, you see an exception because the order is not important the way ein mukta me'ucher in how the Tana organizes that Mishnah. But then the Gemara asks, "V'tana my time akim elichsainus." But then, why did it put? Okay, so the order is not important. But why did it put the tunic before the pants? If ultimately the pants are the first one that it put on. Now we see that the order Mishnayos might not be. But why did he put in that disorder? Says the Gemara, "Mishum da'akim mikra," because actually the pasuk has the chsainus first, as it says, "Miyukat tezayin," says chsainus bad kodesh tilbosh u'michna seivad v'goyim etc. So you see, it puts the tunic before the pants. So the Gemara says, "Bekra my time akhtemay." Why does the pasuk put the chsainus before the pants? If the pants are the first thing that's put on, where again we see again that you could say something in a certain order, but the way it should be done is a different order. Says the Gemara, "Mishum the mechasi kula gufa." Since the tunic covers the entire garment, entire body, adifale the Torah prefers that to say it first before the pants, because the pants doesn't cover the whole entire body. So although the pants are the first thing they're put on, but the Torah rather would put in the way of modesty, the tunic, and that's what I mentioned first, although in order, where again the Tana follows suit after the pasuk, but although the way it's said in a certain order is not, there's no muktam ucher, what was mentioned later in the Mishnah is actually put on first, before, again in contrast to the Tana of our Mishnah, like the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, there the order is important, as we prove in the fact that Shimon disagrees. Obviously, it has to be in that order in regards to severity, to the lightest types of death penalty, which, as we'll see later on, is important and integral to know if someone's liable for 2 death penalties, he gets the more severe death penalty.